And welcome to the show, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Folks, good to be here. Lots to go over today. Before I get to that, Robbie, we've finally gotten some of our social media in order. And so, folks, if you need a little bit of me, and possibly a little bit of Robbie, too, do visit us. Follow us, please. Follow us on Twitter. We've got some, I put out some, well, I think they're funny. I think there's some funny, also informative. So do hit us up at Sam Nation Show. Instagram, we've got some good pictures up, building those up gradually, but that's at Sam Nation. And of course, we're on Facebook, and also check out our website. We're going to have a lot of good content there this week, so check it out. Now, Robbie, have you heard about this? You know, everyone's talking about the Oscars. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about the Oscars. Big controversy, right? Because the Oscars are racist. Before I get to that, Robbie, did you hear about a week ago they had the adult video Oscars? They call them the porn Oscars. And you know that one guy there, his name is James Dean. And apparently, so he's the guy, he's been called the Bill Cosby of of porn. A lot of women have come forward and accused him of doing some very bad things. And in spite of that, do you know how many nominations he got? Robbie, have you heard about this? He got 33 nominations. 33. And he ended up winning two Oscars. Well, two porn Oscars, right? It's crazy. And so everybody's in uproar. Apparently, he's that good. Do you know, funniest thing, so I read some articles about it, and because I'm naturally, I know nothing about this. Were it not for Robbie, I'd have no insight into this. So he's a short guy. So it's always funny, right? You see somebody, you know, I see his pictures of him. He looks like a, you know, good looking guy, confident, good looking guy. Size? No. Well, 5'8". He's 5'8". Now, and that's his height. Yeah, Robbie. Yeah. No, it's not lying down. And yeah, and before, you know, before you claim that this is racism too, you know, I have it on good authority that, you know, that he's 90% white, but 10 inches black. So he's got that going for him. So yeah, 5'8". He's a short guy. And there is, he got one, two Oscars, in spite of being totally steeped in a lot of controversy. All right, so what's this thing with the Oscars, right? I got everybody. You got Jada Pinkett Smith. If you want to see, I'm not even going to play it for you because it is so unbearable to watch. Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, she does a little video on YouTube. No, it's pretty amateur hour. It's her basically declaring that she's not going to go to the Oscars. She's not going to the Oscars. The Oscars are, well, racist, right? And this is all because apparently a number of African-American actors were not recognized in this year's pick, in these nominations. So before we get into all that, let's talk about how this whole process works, right? So the Academy, we're talking about the Academy for the Oscars. They have a certain amount of members. I think it's somewhere around 5,700. It's a lot of people, actually. And these members, the first round of voting is for the nominations. So think of it actually like the primaries, right? Like the election, right? So you got the primaries, you got the first round are for the nominations. And there, the way it works is best that you vote in your respective categories. So if you're an actor, you vote for best actor, right? If you're a film editor, you vote for film editor, best film editor, right? And there they narrow it down to the picks, and then everybody votes in the final round for the winner. It's basically a popularity contest. Now the interesting thing is the admonition that the Academy makes, can you believe this, right? They tell everybody, be sure to watch every movie. Yeah, I bet people vote without watching the movie, which I think is kind of like going to the booth. You know, people that vote in the election and have no idea about the candidates whatsoever reminds me of every, it's like, it's school, right? Remember school elections? Or the worst one is, when as Californians we go to the ballot and we vote on initiatives. You know what I'm talking about? Propositions, that kind of thing. And you go to the ballot box, you have no idea. Admit it. I'm talking to you. You go and you.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
Huh?
You people. That's little Robbie Ambush Smith, little Tropic Thunder. Yeah, so, but it's true. Like, there it is. You go and vote. And you have no idea what those ballot initiatives are. And it sounds so good and seductive. And next thing you know, you've buried California in another bond measure. So it's like that. Apparently, if they're giving this admonition to the members of the Academy to watch the damn movie before they vote, clearly, I think it's some problem. So you got 5,700, give or take, members of the Academy that vote. A sizable portion of them haven't even seen the movies. But if they have, they vote based on their preference. There's no guidelines to it. You just vote which movie you like the best, period. Now, the controversy is, of course, that, well, what? This is racist, right? The outcome of this first step, which is the nomination, is lacking in diversity. And I think you have to look back at history a little bit to see how legitimate this criticism really is. Okay, so we went back, Robbie and I went back to 1995. And we got 20 years there, right? We got 20 years of Oscars. And it's interesting, right? Because, so we have, in Best Oscar, we have three movies that went to African Americans, and that was, we had 2006 Forrest Whitaker for Last King of Scotland, Jamie Foxx for Ray. That was a good movie. I like Last King of Scotland too. But Jamie Foxx, so 2004 and 2001, Training Day. Yeah, that was a good movie. So Denzel Washington, there you go. So what's that, what is that percentage wise? So there were 20, there are 20 Oscars that went for that category, and three of them went to African-Americans. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Well, not really, because you got to consider the population makeup of this country, which is about 13% black, right? That statistically, give or take, right? So now, at 13%, representative population, you've got 15%, which is actually above represented, right? It's a little bit lower for Best Actress. So we had only one in the last 20 years, and that went to Halle Berry for Monsters Ball. Now, Robbie, before I go further on this, tell me, when I think of Hollywood, right, when I think of actors in Hollywood, I don't necessarily think of backwards, conservative, racist type people. I mean, I've lived in California my whole life, more or less. And if there's any group of people that are absolutely progressive and crazy, crazy left-wing nuts, it's actors in Hollywood. I mean, the genesis of every crazy cause we have is coming from some actor, some actress, or some producer, or director, or whomever. So it's almost unbelievable for me to hear this. It's not just Jada Pinkett Smith, is it? Snoop. Well, oh yeah, well yeah, Spike Lee, yeah, but Snoop gave some props. There's a video. Can't really play it on, you know, we'd end up bleeping the whole thing out. But I think Snoop at one point, what does he say? He says, F the Oscars, F the Grammys, I'm not watching it, I'd be smoking dope, kicking it. That's a quote, folks. So they're all not going to watch the Oscars. Who else is boycotting it, Robbie? Will Smith? Yeah. So, you know, well, we've got to keep peace at home, right? When the missus, you know, when your lady says, "I'm not going," Will just knows, he knows what to do. But so regardless, there's a handful of people that are making a lot of noise. And the criticism is that the voting block of members isn't diverse enough. Now, let's look at that. Let's look at that criticism, right? And there's two things specifically, right, that they're not diverse enough and that they need to be younger. Remember that, Robbie? Bunch of people are saying they need to be younger. First of all, how discriminatory is that? Right? I mean, isn't that ageist? So you're old, therefore you're a racist. I mean, yeah, you know what I want to say is, hey, Hollywood, how does it feel now to have those guns of political correctness turned against you? How does that feel? Because it's, yeah, so continuing. You have age, and you have diversity. But aren't these all the people that are involved in the industry? It's a wide pool. The impression is that it's 12 people in a room making a decision. And it's not. It's thousands of people involved. Now, guess who's hosting this? Well, it's Chris Rock. And I want to talk about that right when we come back, because he's hanging in there. He's going to host this year's Oscars, and I'm going to tell you why this year's Oscars are going to be the best Oscars ever. Back after this, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You can get your political talking points during the week, but here at Sam Nation, we keep things fresh and independent. You're listening to Sam Nation, polluting the airwaves every Saturday on 790 KABC.
And welcome back, folks. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And now imagine you're coming back from the Oscars. Well, yeah, you're just driving in L.A. You're driving in L.A. And all of a sudden, smash, bam, you're rear-ended by Snoop. And, you know, he's been smoking dope and kicking it, not watching the Oscars. And you know what you have? You've got a case. You've got a case. And you know Snoop and his insurance company, they're not going to look out for you. I hate to break it to you. And that's why you need Sweet James Bergner. Now, Sweet James, he's an honest lawyer. And he will fight for you, your case. He will believe in you and believe you're in your case. And I'll tell you, I hear from so many people who really do have great stories about how they're, you know, they start out with insurance company. They think the insurance company's going to take care of me. They're going to just handle everything. They're going to pay me what's fair. As long as I'm honest and I do everything right, it's all going to be okay. And what happens every single time? All it takes is a few weeks, and they realize it's a no-go. They're getting shuffled around. They're just getting stalled, and a lot of promises and nothing delivered. Call Sweet James, 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Sweet James will take your case, will take care of you, and make sure those insurance companies and Snoop Dogg, make sure Snoop Dogg pays. All right. Now, I hope that, you know, Snoop and Jada, they're missing out, right? They're missing out because I think these Oscars are going to be terrific. Robbie and I agree because, so I love Chris Rock. I do. And one of the things that's really great about Chris Rock and always has been is that he's a comedian that really does tap into the truth, the social truths. That's why his humor is so funny. It's funny most jokes are funny when they're true, fundamentally based on something correct that rings true inside. And what's his advantage? His advantage is that he's black, so he can talk about things that a lot of us can't. Right? I mean, some of his racial humor is easily the best, most. I mean, it's hard driving. You folks have heard it. I'm not going to get into it here, but it's good. And so, apparently, I have heard that Chris Rock has completely scrapped his script because he's getting pressure from his friends. He said, Are you really going to do this? And he said, yeah, I'm going to do this. I want to do this now more than ever. And he's taken the whole script, Robbie, and he's thrown it out. And I guess the rumor has it he's locked himself in a room somewhere with his writing team. And they're retooling this thing from the bottom up or top down, however you want to do it. And it's going to be provocative. It's going to be provocative, and I don't know if it's going. See, the thing about Chris Rock is I don't necessarily assume it's going to be activism. I think he's going to poke fun at both sides. So, you know, I think the Academy is, haven't ratings been abysmal? I mean, folks, the fact of the matter is that the joke after every Oscars is that the only people that are really into it are the people that were there. And even they, half of them are falling asleep. I mean, that's always the best part of the show. And they pan the audience and there's people snoozing in the back. So the truth is controversy sells. I mean, Donald Trump, anyone. Right? So controversy sells, and this may end up being, you know, the best thing that has ever happened to the Oscars. But underneath it all, and this is why whatever Chris Rock does, if it's up to his standards, it's going to be good because there's such a fair and legitimate criticism of the critics out there. So, yes, predominantly the people that are voting are white. Yes, it's true. And I think statistically, Robbie did the hard research here. I wasn't going to make a James Dean joke, Robbie. Don't worry. The Academy, 94% white, 77% male. And the average age is 62. So when I told you folks last segment that they want this group to be more diverse and younger, I think they meant they want it to be less white, less male, and less old. I feel so unwanted. I guess I'm not that old, but I'm going to get old. And then what? Am I not fit for this? I mean, if you're an old white dude, what are you thinking when you're hearing all of this? Well, crap. My vote doesn't matter. And incidentally, right, you're automatically presumed to be a racist. So what I don't want to have, what do I want from the Oscars? I want the best damn movie to win. I don't care if it's a black guy in it or a white guy. I don't care if it's an actor, an actress, or something in between. I don't care. Great movies deserve recognition. And, you know, when I watch these award shows, the only reason I really watch them is if you've got a horse in the, you know, horse in the fight, or horse in the race, whatever the expression is, right? So you've got, if you've seen the movies, then you care. You start formulating an idea of which one you think is best. And now, let me ask you this question. When you're thinking about, maybe there's a particular year where you actually made an effort to go out and watch all the movies. Some people do that. It's probably the right way of going about it. So you go watch all the movies, and that's more than, apparently that's more than the Academy members who are voting can say, because the Academy is telling them all the time, be sure to watch all the movies before you vote. You know, they also gave them advice to watch the movie all the way through and don't make yourself a sandwich in the middle of it. They actually gave him that advice. Don't make a sandwich. Oh, I don't even know where to go with that. So if you watch all the movies, do you really form an opinion of which movie you like based on race or the diversity or the background of the actor or actress or the film editor? Oh, my gosh, that film editor is white. I think I'm going to like his movie a little more. I mean, that's just absurd. And maybe it's because I'm not an old guy, but I know a lot of people that are my dad's generation, and they're all, I really know for a fact that they don't approach it from this perspective. They wouldn't. One more thing, folks. What do we want? Do we want Academy members to be voting based on a fear of being called racist? I mean, you want, I would presume, right, that if, again, if you want the best movie to win, then you don't want the people that are voting to feel a pressure or some kind of, influence on them to pick movies that are diverse. It kind of takes away from the whole the best of the best, right? This is supposed to be the best of the best. It's the number one award show that we follow. And it's supposed to celebrate exceptionalism. And so there's a Mexican actor. His name is Damian Bashir. And he wrote a great op-ed piece about how we are artists. There shouldn't be black art and Mexican art and white art. There ought to be art. And we don't, and he says this, and he says this as a Latin actor. You know, he wants his work to be judged at the Oscars. And he doesn't want to have a Latin Oscar. He doesn't want to win a Latin Oscar. He wants to go head to head, fair as fair, against the best of the best. And win. And maybe some of this is really a commentary on us as a society now, where we're no longer about winning as much as we are about not hurting each other's feelings and being politically correct. And, well, you heard about this basketball team. I don't think it's a stretch, right? We heard about, there's a girls' basketball team that got kicked out of the league because they were too good. Well, you know, every kid, if you've got kids, you know what I'm talking about. There's always that one damn team in your kids' league where the kids are all future, you know, they're all future athletes extraordinaire, and they go and they play every team and they kick everyone's ass. Okay. I mean, and what do? Do you kick them out of the league, or do you tell your kid, hey, look at that, play harder? That's the team to beat. Because when you've got a team like that out there, what if you're competitive, what does it make you do? It makes you work harder. If I'm an actor and I'm an actor of color, I want to work hard for the award. I want to work hard to put out my best performance I possibly can. And what I'm not looking for the Academy giving me a leg up by diversifying the voting members so that, you know, my chances of winning an Oscar are increased. To me, I think that's very patronizing. It's offensive. And so I'm hoping Chris Rock, I hope he just tears this thing apart. I think he can do it, Robbie. I'm going to watch this year. I'm going to watch, and I can't wait to talk to you guys after it. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what it is. But basketball, right? That's not fair. Is that next? I think there ought to be more whites playing basketball. What is it? I mean, it's 58% black. That's not proportional to the population. It's not fair. Is that racist? No, because if you've got a basketball team, you want to have the best players. Period. This is crazy. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to tell you what Jada Pinkett Smith thinks we ought to do. The solution to all of this. I don't think anybody out there really is going to think that this is a good idea. Sam Rogowski, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You can get your political talking points during the week, but here at Sam Nation, we keep things fresh and independent. You're listening to Sam Nation, polluting the airwaves every Saturday on 790 KABC.
And Sam Rogowski, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Good to be back. So folks, if you need to catch our, well, pearls of wisdom, observations on life during the week, please, please, please. Catch me on Twitter at Sam Nation Show. And we've done a lot of Oscars jabs this past week, and we continue to do them throughout. The hashtag that I think is trending right now is the hashtag OscarSoWhite. And there's some good stuff. Great material, not just from me, but other people as well. So if you're on Twitter, check it out. Jada Pinkett Smith, what is her solution to all this racism in the Oscars? Now, can we just briefly say here, before we explain her solution, why is she so bent out of shape about this? Apparently, so Will Smith had a movie this year, right? And he was up for a nomination and didn't get nominated. Boo-hoo! So the first thing that you do when you don't get something is you cry racism. Right, Robbie? Is that what you do? Well, no. Yeah, it's a big anti-ginger movement out there. Deep prejudice. And so, yeah, so maybe it's, I mean, is it possible it's just some sour grapes? Could it be? You decide. But here's her solution, right? She says, maybe we ought to have our own award ceremony. I don't know. Do they mean like the BET Awards? Not entirely clear what she's talking about. But let's just, I came up with the working title. I did. We call them Black Oscars, right? That's going to be our new hashtag this week, Robbie. Black Oscars. And well, you think that's terribly racist. You think that's racist, Robbie, don't you? So before you get your hipster whatever is all in a twist, do you know what Snoop suggested? He suggested, and I quote, hood awards. It's true. Snoop wants some hood awards. What the hell? Is that not the most racist thing ever? Okay, so when I think of racism, I think bad, right? Because you're judging somebody based on their color. Now, the whole Martin Luther King, right? This thing, you're judging somebody based on their skin and not by their character, their performance, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? And that premise is absolutely wrong, right? We are a meritocracy. And if we are to believe in a post-racial or post-racist society, then we have to assume that where we're evolving to is that we truly do become colorblind. Or we say, oh, wow, that person's black and think nothing more of it. Fine. So how does having hood awards or black Oscars help that? How does what she's proposing is to self-segregate and form their own little thing over here, which is very racist, right? I don't know. It comes down to what do I want? So my parents are both Czech, which makes me a Slav, right? I'm a European, whatever. Now let's say that they had some awards for really, really bad talk radio. The Bad Talk Radio Awards. And I really wanted to win one of those. I think I'm a contender, actually. And, oh, well, wait a minute. We've got the European Bad Talk Show Radio Awards. And then we have the Latin Talk Show, Bad Talk Show Awards. And we've got the Canadian. Oh, I bet that one's, they got, I bet the competition's really bad up there. So, isn't it all public radio? I imagine Canada being run by NPR. It's kind of how I picture Canada. So, no, I mean, I want to win the awards and I want to compete against everybody. No? And so that's why a number of black entertainers, actors and actresses have come out against us. And we've seen that in the news. And they just say, no, I mean, this is absurd. These are absurd criticisms. And all I can tell you is, yeah, I don't know. I don't see very many movies. I don't see very many movies. And incidentally, folks, in case you're wondering, I do have a follow-up. And I have some very disappointing news for y'all, which is that Robbie did not complete his homework assignment. This is very disappointing. I told him last week that he needed to watch The Revenant and determine whether or not Leo DiCaprio was intimate with the bear. And, well, the only explanation I have for why a supremely talented and amazing actor such as Leo DiCaprio has never won an Oscar is because he's black. That's the only... Well, he's not black. Well, now you tell me. I mean, right? Isn't that absurd, too? What does he have to complain about? The guy gets passed up year after year after year. And he's a dang good actor, right? He's not... Is that, am I, Robbie, are you, do you back me up on this? I mean, there are a number of movies we could list right now where DiCaprio deserved that Oscar. And he didn't get it. And some years he wasn't even nominated. So what do you do? I think they're punishing him for Titanic. That was always my, it's like that movie both made and killed his career in one fell swoop. So this is the year. So he's nominated for the Revenant, and I haven't seen it yet. Robbie hasn't seen it yet. But unlike me, Robbie was actually tasked with seeing it. But he has an excuse because I made him go see 13 Hours with me. So we go and see the movie, and wow. Now this movie also is not going to win any Oscars probably because. No, in all of this, nobody's demanding that the Academy Awards, that the voting members be any more conservative, right? Because out of the 5,700 or 6,000, however many voting members there are, I have it on good authority that 6.5 of them are registered Republicans. And the rest of them are somewhere between communist fascist and... you know, blue dog Democrat. Right? And that's the spectrum. So, yeah, so this movie is not going to win any Academy Awards. Now, I liked the movie. I liked it all the way around. And, well, Missy, have you seen this movie? No, Missy has not seen this movie. It's good. I think you'd like it. So it's all about Benghazi, 13 hours being the 13 hours of the attack on the two compounds there in Libya. So the premise, let me give you the background of the movie a little bit. The movie is not, it's not overtly political, okay? They don't talk about Hillary, they don't talk about Obama. Never mention her by name. Then again, the movie is extremely political because it goes through the timeline of a very contentious event in our recent history. Americans are sensitive about bad guys coming and burning our embassies. We are. Most countries are. When you mess with our team, we don't like it. Right? That whole episode in 1979 when the Ayatollah, you know, took over Iran, kicked out the Shah. We had a president who was who had the fortitude of a wet sponge. Carter, yes, that guy, still alive. Criticizing everybody and anybody he can. So what happened? They stormed our embassy, took over our embassy, right? It was supposedly back then also called a protest, but really it was an organized assault on our embassy. And next thing you know, we had the hostage crisis and our people are being paraded around blindfolded and powerless. And our country did nothing. And that experience is seared into the minds and hearts of Americans that lived through that ordeal. So all those old ass white guys that are voting against your, you know, diverse movies in the Academy, those are all the guys that remember this happening. So maybe they will vote for this Benghazi movie. We'll see. But here's the thing. This movie starts with kind of laying the framework for the mission, the diplomatic mission. It's not an embassy, but it's kind of like an embassy, a consulate, if you will. This really nice villa that is in the heart of Benghazi, which is a town in Libya. And at the time, the United States is operating three outposts in the country. One is in Tripoli, the embassy in Tripoli. And then there are these two outposts. One is a diplomatic mission and the other one is a secret CIA base. And they're located fairly close together in the city of Benghazi. Now, the year is 2012, Robbie? 2012. The day is September 11th. And the movie details the attack of these militias on first the diplomatic compound and then second on the CIA base. And in the process of this, there are a few Americans killed. Among them is the U.S. ambassador to Libya. And it's only the second time in history that the U.S. ambassador, a U.S. ambassador is killed in the line of duty. When we come back, I will tell you the timeline here of how this all went down and show you exactly how we played politics with human lives. I know you've heard a lot about this. I'm going to lay it out for you, and it will make your blood boil. This is Sam Rojofsky, Talk Radio 790 KBC. And welcome back to the program, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And we were talking about 13 Hours, the movie about Benghazi, and giving it a two thumbs up, both from me and producer Robbie. Although producer Robbie gives it maybe 1.5 thumbs up. He thinks it was a little too Michael Bay-ish, a little overly dramatized. But nevertheless, we like the movie. We like the movie. But folks, the real story here is the timeline of events in those hours that the attack unfolded. All right. Because what you see in the movie is you see our diplomatic mission, our consulate, our, you know, technically these areas that are taken over and used in for diplomatic purposes are American soil, even if they are in a foreign country. So you see, in effect, American soil under attack, Americans under attack, protected by only a handful of very qualified but certainly outnumbered, right, military contractors who are former Army Rangers, SEALs, that type of thing. And here they are expecting any minute to be overrun. The facility is on fire. The ambassador is killed. And what are they doing? They are phoning Washington for help because they still have their communication lines up and they are phoning for help frantically. If you were in that building thinking any minute you might die, minutes are hours, if not days. I promise you that. And so what happened that day? What do they want? I mean, in essence, they at this time, Libya is in such a terrible state that there is no way to get reliable military assistance from Libya, from the Libyan government. So the only hope that they have is to get U.S. military air support to strafe or even just show a force by doing a low flyover the area and threatening the attackers with immediate annihilation. So the attack happens at 3:40 Washington time in the afternoon. Everyone's awake and at work. This did not happen in the middle of the night. So that's the first thing that we've got to remember. And the State Department alerts that somewhere between 3:40 and 4 o'clock, the State Department receives notification and puts all embassies on alert. And they notify a few key people. They notify the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dempsey, and also Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta. At this point, they're also pretty lucky because the guy who oversees the entire African area of command is General Carter Hammond. He happens to be in Washington at the Pentagon at the time. That's 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock, Panetta and Dempsey have a pre-scheduled meeting with President Obama. So, interestingly enough, there is no special meeting that is set up. There's no, hey, we have an emergency here. We need to meet with the president. And there's two things I need to say about this. Number one, if American military assets are being moved cross-border, there is only one person who can authorize that, and that is the President of the United States. So do not read this and dismiss this as there are people that can take care of this. Obama can delegate. He can't. He has to give, and only he can give the order to send military planes across borders and fly into Libya to protect the embassy. The other thing that is really important, and I think this is critical, is the question that every minute of the president's day is accounted for. This is not like my day and your day. Yes, you might keep a good calendar, but the president has, that I know of, and I've looked at this quite a bit, has at least three separate schedules that are maintained. And his secretary, his personal secretary, keeps the most detailed schedule. And Robbie, you'll be surprised to know this maybe. They even keep track of the president's bathroom breaks. They're called, not going to make this up, folks. They're called evacuations. They're put on the schedule, and they keep track of them. So I guess, someday we can look back and know when Obama had a bowel movement. But all joking aside, that is how well the President's Day is documented. So we know quite definitively his meeting schedule. Now, you'll recall when we had the big attack, when we went in and successfully got Osama bin Laden. And we remember those pictures. You remember those pictures of Obama and Hillary, and they were stern-faced, and they were looking intently. They were in the Situation Room. Well, guess what? None of these logs so far have been released. These dates and times are only the result of little bits of information coming out during the hearings that were held in Congress, and also through a spokesperson for the White House. So they've never released any of the logs. And for one, there's no indication that Obama ever even went down into the Situation Room. Instead, during that 5 p.m. meeting, he instructed Panetta and Dempsey to take appropriate steps to handle the situation. And that is the only time that they ever had contact. And remember, folks, he's been challenged on this. And this is, I think, a very embarrassing thing, right? If you're the president of the United States and there is an ambassador literally being killed, you would have to show. I mean, if you were there in the situation room and were involved, wouldn't you want to show that?
This is the most transparent administration in history.
That's it. That's it. I guess not. But here's the crazy thing. So 7 p.m. rolls around. Obama still hasn't surfaced. And now the attacks are still ongoing, and they're ongoing at both places. And around 7 p.m., Obama calls Israeli President Benjamin Netanyahu. And it's all about politics. It's nothing about this attack. And then there's another call at 10 p.m. And there was some back and forth on whether this call even happened. It was denied by some people. And then later, a White House spokesman acknowledged that there was a call. And do you know what this call was about, Robbie? It was between Obama and Hillary when they were trying to get their story straight on why this thing happened. The politics of it, which I don't even really want to get into. And the movie doesn't get into it either, right? The movie, all the movie addresses is that for 13 hours, nothing really happens. There's no air support. There's no, and it shows all the generals, and I think it's pretty true to the story. It shows all the generals saying, don't do anything. Hold off. Hold off. And what the movie doesn't say is they're holding off because there's only so much Leon Panetta, as Secretary of Defense, can do without direction from his boss. Now, the White House logs, there's a separate bit of account keeping for the comings and goings of the White House. The White House logs that track all the visitors that come and go have three guys coming to visit Obama during this time. They come in the afternoon and they leave late at night. Michael Donilon, David Ginsburg, and Ron Klein. Who are these guys? They were part of his debate prep team. And they were there to practice, ostensibly, and prepare Obama for his debate against Mitt Romney. Folks, while a U.S. embassy was in flames and 25 to 30 American lives were at stake, Obama was preparing for a debate. And he, folks, and they wonder why we are mad as hell. This is so beyond unexcusable that if it doesn't make you angry, I don't even know what to tell you. I don't really care what explanation is expeditious at the end of this, right? Because you know what came after this was, well, it was the video. We released that horrible anti-Islamic video. Some idiot here in LA released some movie. And it was a spontaneous protest. And it was this immediate, I mean, they knew that they had screwed the pooch on this. They knew it. And so the immediate distraction and demagoguery began to wag the dog and to begin a discussion about, well, was it the video or was it a spontaneous protest? And remember, that's what we talked about? For a month straight, we debated whether it was a video or a spontaneous protest. When the real issue from the beginning was that we had a commander-in-chief who was playing politics over leading and protecting this country. And Hillary today is running on the very notion, she's got the same ads, right? She's running the same ads that she did 8 years ago, which is the 3 a.m. phone call. And I'm going to be there to take it. Yeah, right. The only 3 a.m. phone call she's going to take is one that's going to help cover her ass. And this, folks, let me round this out for you. This is why Trump is going to win Iowa on Monday. This is why he's going to win. It's this kind of silly politics over leadership that people have had enough of. And people are flocking to him. And we have that clip. Let's play that clip, Robbie, of that lady. They interview this lady who just left a Trump rally, and she's black. She's a lifelong Democrat, and she's gone to Trump. And the best part about it is she's married her husband, longtime Democrat also, and her husband's still a Democrat. And this is what she says.
My husband's a Democrat. First he was for Hillary, now he's for Bernie.
He'll change.
Well, I told him if he don't vote for Trump, we're getting a divorce.
That's it. She's going to pick Trump over her husband. And so this is why don't let the media, it's going to happen. Folks, we're going to be back here next week. I'm either going to be saying, see, I told you so, or eating crow. But either way, we're going to have something to talk about. All right, it's time for apologies. Robbie, you know what? I'm done with apologies. I have nothing to apologize for. It's it. We speak the truth here at Sam Nation. So if you can't handle it, don't listen. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.